you're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our state's mask mandate to limit the spread of COVID remains in place for now. Republicans are investigating whether there's a way to pass their compromised COVID relief bill without losing federal money. Eliminating Governor Evers' latest health emergency would jeopardize $49 million in federal food aid that is connected to having an emergency declaration. Here's Governor Evers at a press conference Friday.
It's unbelievable to me that we can have the entire health world opposing them striking down this order. And they ignore the science. They ignore the people that implement the science. The options are few.
Has the governor overstepped his power by requiring people to wear masks? Or were Republican lawmakers putting politics ahead of public health? 800-642-1234. Evan Goyke is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. Representative Goyke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Step back for us and explain how Wisconsin would have lost this food aid directed at more than 240,000 Wisconsin families had lawmakers ended the governor's health emergency declaration.
Yes. So the an act of Congress gave an increase to those Wisconsinites that receive food share, food stamp benefits during COVID, but only two states that also had an emergency declaration for COVID. So it was a federal action and a state action. And we learned late Wednesday and then brought to life early Thursday morning the fact that the Senate resolution to end the emergency order and thus the mask mandate would have cost 240,000 Wisconsinites this additional food share benefits. And I just want to make sure listeners understand when we played in the clip, it wasn't just $49 million, period. It was $49 million a month for about a quarter million Wisconsinites. So really a massive reduction in federal funding for about a quarter million Wisconsinites.
What did you do when you got this memo?
Well, I called my friend Patrick Marley from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel so that he could tell his friends and readers and listeners. We raised as much trouble as we possibly could. And some of the questions that we asked were not just limited to food share. These acts of Congress during COVID are very long. They're thousands of pages long. And we just, at this moment, don't know the extent of federal funding that we put in jeopardy by ending the emergency order. And I'll just note that this resolution, the legislative vehicle to do this, really has gone through no legislative processes. Normally, in Madison, in the Capitol, we have hearings and people come to testify and there's arguments. None of that happened in this resolution. It went directly to the floor without any kind of hearing. You could hear an exasperated Tony Evers talk about the medical community. There are 53 organizations opposed to the resolution ending the emergency order and the mask mandate. There are zero groups that have registered in support.
Is there, you alluded to this, is there other federal funding that could be jeopardized by overturning the order?
At this moment, I just don't know. We have posed that question to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. I assume some of them worked long through the weekend, but as of airing right now, we don't know. And that was a concern. Well, it's still a concern, but Thursday, really in an unusual act where the majority party paused their action and the wheels kind of fell off the train for the day for them, we don't have firm answers to those questions. And quite honestly, that's why you have a transparent political process that brings in the voices of people directly affected and those organizations directly affected, and so that we can have a firm answer to that question before we vote on legislation.
Assembly Speaker Voss has said he still plans on overturning the mask mandate, possibly as soon as this week, but wanted to better understand the ramifications first. Where do things stand right now with a compromise relief bill?
Well, it looks like the Republicans in the legislature are trying some legislative gymnastics. They're trying to amend a bill that would give the governor a kind of truncated power to issue an emergency order for the purposes of getting federal funding. But look, these are the same individuals that a week ago didn't know that their legislation would cost us $50 million a month. And so they I don't think can be trusted with either really knowing the extent of their legislation or the prudent management of federal funds. They're trying to amend a bill that is laden with partisan poison pills that would strip the governor's powers for managing federal relief dollars. And it really is not, they're calling it a compromise. There was a compromise COVID bill a few weeks ago, but Assembly Republicans added those partisan poison pills. It is no longer a compromise. And it's not a real solution to mitigating COVID and ensuring that we retain our federal funds. And just this last point, the way that we do that, the way that we mitigate COVID and make sure we get our fair share of federal funding is to do nothing. It is to not repeal the governor's emergency declaration and mask mandate. Those are in place. Those are working. It's one of the most effective tools we have. So we need to not end the mask mandate. That's the only way we ensure that we don't lose federal funding and that we respond in one of the best ways we can to this public health crisis.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Evan Goyke, who is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. We're discussing the mask mandate, whether lawmakers can come together to pass some sort of relief legislation. Taking your questions as well, 800-642-1234. Rich is joining us from Rhinelander this morning. Hi, Rich. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. Late last week, I called my state senator, Felskowski from Tomahawk to speak, and also my assemblyman's office. And in a very robotic, almost read from the text script, I was told again and again that the Republicans are protecting the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin from Governor Tony Evers' excessive overreach. And I told them in my response in the call, I said, I find that ridiculous in our current circumstances.
So Rich is saying that the response he got from calling lawmakers is this is about overreach, Representative Goyke.
Yeah, that seems to be their argument. I find it pretty hollow. I think it's about politics and trying to appease a conservative base and levy a defeat against Governor Evers. I think Speaker Voss went so far as to hint that the governor was acting like a dictator. You know, those of us who know Tony Evers, he's not a dictator. You just listen to the clip you played earlier as we began the program. This is one of the most important tools to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. One of the important things about this emergency order and the state playing a role, government playing a role in requiring masks is so that public sector, private sector actors don't have to be out there being the mask police. And it's a way that businesses can keep their employees and customers safe without spending so much time trying to enforce different rules. Imagine if in the grocery store, any grocery store could have their own rules and who would be enforcing that? This is the role of government. It is a moment like this and an emergency like this that the government exists to issue these kind of orders. And so I just don't see it. I agree with Rich. I don't see it the same way that his elected officials do. And I want to applaud him for contacting his elected officials. Clearly, the public advocacy matters. It changed the outcome of the vote last week, and I just encourage the listeners to follow Rich's lead and dig in and contact their representatives. And if they give robotic red answers, challenge them on that.
Representative, how have you reached across the aisle? What conversations have you been having with Republican lawmakers about this mask order?
Well, I think that the last one of the last points I was just making about what happens if this is lifted in the private sector has been a concern that some of my Republican colleagues have voiced. But I will tell you that they voiced that concern very quietly, privately, sheepishly. They're wearing a mask in the state capitol. I'm wearing a mask. So they're kind of in whispered tones, careful not to be too public to take a position on this order because they're fearful that there would be political ramifications. And, you know, I see on social media, you know, the kind of rabid conservative base, you know, arguing that they should challenge in primary elections to challenge Republicans that don't forcefully oppose this order. And so out of one side of them of their mouth, they privately, quietly want the order and understand that it helps a lot of their constituencies and the businesses they represent. But out of the other side of their corner of their mouth, they're professing standing up to Governor Evers and pledging to overturn the emergency order and mask mandate.
If you're just joining us, we have State Representative Evan Goyke of Milwaukee talking about the prospects for COVID relief legislation, the partisan gridlock over the mask mandate in the legislature. Do you see room for compromise between the governor and the legislature? What do you think Democratic lawmakers who are in the minority should do now to try to work with Republicans on the pandemic? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Democratic Representative Evan Goyke of Milwaukee. Last week, he asked the Legislative Fiscal Bureau for a fiscal impact analysis on what it would mean for Republicans to end the governor's public health emergency. And that fiscal memo response Wednesday said it would jeopardize $49 million a month in food aid to more than 242,000 households in Wisconsin's Food Share program. Have you relied on Food Share or other programs to feed your family and get by in difficult times? What do you want lawmakers to know? 800-642-1234. And Representative Goyke is with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Ann now, joining us from Campbellsport. Hi, Ann, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Yesterday, I heard Senator Felskowski defend the Senate's attempt to end the mask mandate, saying because Governor Evers' mandate was illegal, we would have lost the funds anyway. I don't know what the Republican strategy would have been had that come to fruition, she didn't say, but I mean, that argument was so laughable, I laughed out loud. One other quick comment I want to make is I recently saw a picture of Senator Glenn Grossman at a La Mira Chamber of Commerce meeting, sitting at tables with elderly people, room full, not one person in that room had nothing. That's all. I'll take your comment off the air. Thank you.
Representative Goyke, go ahead there. Two comments there from Ann.
Sure. One, the emergency order is not illegal. We are receiving those benefits now. There is litigation on the legality of the governor's emergency order, but that has not yet been decided, and I don't have a firm date on when that is. But the senator that you quoted was wrong. And then the second comment about public officials not wearing masks, being in crowded rooms without masks. I've seen a number of my Republican legislative colleagues and their staffers in the state capitol walking around fairly brazen without wearing their mask as if it's a badge of honor. And the words and actions of leaders, including elected leaders, matter. It's one of the reasons why the mask mandate is important. It's the government modeling one of the best behaviors we can promote to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. So it's really unfortunate to hear the comment that Representative Glenn Grossman was kind of modeling poor behavior, especially in a room with, sounds like, particularly vulnerable individuals. And so keeping the order and validating it is an important message that elected leaders can send across the state.
So the state Senate and Governor Evers had appeared to me moving toward a compromise on a response to the pandemic, but Republicans in the assembly insisted on several measures. What are your thoughts on what Republicans are pushing for?
I have no idea. They have no idea. The Republicans in Madison have no plan. They have no agenda. The legislation you're referencing is Assembly Bill 1, which could be a bipartisan COVID relief bill that the Senate Republicans and Governor Evers negotiated. In that form, in the form it was negotiated, received bipartisan support. In the Assembly, legislative Democrats in the Assembly, we were ready to vote for it. And then at the final hour, Republicans added a number of provisions, one of which would give legislative Republicans kind of final say on any federal dollars that the state receives to combat COVID-19. And as we've been pointing out, that would be a very bad idea. I don't trust their management of things like vaccination distribution dollars or dollars to schools or, you know, for this public health response. And they've shown that they can't be trusted by trying to rush through legislation without even knowing the long-term fiscal consequences of their actions. I was hopeful. So really behind the curtain, if you want to know what's happening, there's a power struggle between Assembly Republicans and Senate Republicans, and that power struggle is resulting in the inability to pass meaningful legislation. In April of 2020, the two chambers and two parties came together and passed legislation when we really needed it. We did it with urgency, and we did it together. The compromise bill that's mentioned does many of those things that we already agreed to do back in April. It just extends those things, which we need to reauthorize. That's where we should start. We should pass that bill. We could do it tomorrow. We could send it to the governor's desk, and relief could be coming on as soon as Wednesday. And then we can take back up our disagreements and arguments. But the battle between Republicans in the Senate and the Assembly is preventing bipartisan legislation from reaching the finish line.
We're talking with Evan Goyke, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. We're looking at the actions by the legislature to pass COVID relief legislation, what it looks like, and the impasse with the parties. With your questions, 800-642-1234. Melissa is joining us from Racine. Hi, Melissa.
Good morning. I am just calling with a few comments, I guess piggybacking on previous callers and in terms of the brazen attitudes that you have seen from your own fellow workers. I for the first time reached out to my representative last week. I've never done so before. And the response from one of the gentlemen I spoke with was, well, what would you have done if this was Governor Walker that would have issued such a mandate? And my response to that, one, taken back a little bit, was that, of course, I would agree to a mandate that protects the health of our citizens here in Wisconsin. Two, that same attitude that you're seeing carrying over on the Senate floor is actually carrying into our community. I was at an appointment this week for a medical appointment, and lo and behold, Senator Wangard was there. Him and I were the only ones in the room. And he came in without a mask, asked if he had to put one of those things on. And to someone who's been home since March due to compromised health, and I'm a special education teacher, having to virtual world, it was very upsetting, very alarming, especially as he's one of the reps I had reached out to. So I am concerned about how.
Melissa, you're breaking up. We got your story. Representative Goyke, Melissa, very concerned as a special education teacher and also seeing her lawmaker in public without a mask.
Yeah, I think that it emphasizes the modeling of good behavior that elected officials need to do. And you retell the exact opposite, somebody modeling bad behavior and almost making light of it. To the point about whether a Republican governor would, if they had an emergency order and a mask mandate, would we be, me as a Democrat, would I be fighting it? And the answer is no. It's a public health order meant to save lives and mitigate the spread of a virus that I have every intention of not getting and my loved ones not getting. And, you know, we're nearing 6,000 people dead in Wisconsin. There are Republican-controlled states that have mask mandates. There are Democratic-controlled states that have mask mandates. Because the science of wearing a mask is clear, not disputed, it is one of the most effective tools we have to mitigate the spread. And if the government does not have this type of order, behavior will begin to change, and that will lead to negative outcomes. And we've seen that in our state and in other states when we relax our efforts or when we repeal orders or litigate or sue, or these decisions have consequences. So I encourage people to continue to call, to ask those questions, continue to model that good behavior and set the example for everybody else.
We only have about 20 seconds left, but I just wanted to ask you this. Your city, Milwaukee, just came off of a horrendous year for homicides, 190, shattering the previous record. What are you doing legislatively, policy-wise, to try to curb the violence in Milwaukee?
It's a great question. And that violent year comes after 2 years of progress. And so our goal, my policy focus, is how do we fund what works? How do we make sure that we have the correct investment on the neighborhood level, block by block, things like the Office of Violence Prevention, efforts to work with police and citizens together. But we need a new strategy, and we need state level resources to help citizens of Milwaukee engage and see better outcomes. And I've seen it possible. I've seen it work in my community.
Representative Goyke, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Evan Goyke is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. Just ahead, how to combat the so-called quarantine 15. We talk with a dietitian about how to trim those extra pounds. Are you trying to lose weight this year? What questions do you have about your diet and exercise? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a State Capitol Report, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.